Turn to your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Now, I want to talk to you about the law, and I want to talk to you about the fulfillment of the law. And I had an interesting weekend. Brendan and I have been up in Nashville for a couple days, and I had some good time, but I had a guy that Lloyd recommended me listen to. And the guy is Pentecostal, believes in tongues and all that. But I believe the man's saved. He's certainly got the doctrine of grace down. And that, but the problem is if you don't rightly divide, he claimed the gospel was found in John 3:16, although he put it properly in 1 Corinthians 15 numerous times. You all understand what I'm saying? Makes application. And the error is that when you talk about dispensational theology, and when you start to consider what is dispensational theology, what you're basically doing is finding when one doctrine ends and another doctrine begins. And that's basically it. It's not any more complicated than that. And I said Romans 8, but I want to read in Romans chapter 12 before we read in Romans 8. Where I put it all the time. Why? All right. Romans chapter 12. We got it out of wig a little bit when we were. Well, my collar might have something to say. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. For what reason? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And really, that's all we're trying to define, is what is the will of God? And if you mix it up and you get the gospel right, you're saved. But if all your other doctrines are messed up, guess what? You're not able to prove what is acceptable. And do what? The works will not be there. Exactly. The point being is that. I do believe that you can be saved by grace and get back up under the law. I was at a Bible camp, when one of the preachers said, okay, you get saved, and from that point on, this was a grace preacher now. You know, this was a grace preacher, but he thought that the law was a good guideline. That what you do is you get saved and then you follow the law as a moral course. And I've heard that hundreds of times. That's very Baptist. Get saved, follow the law. Try to follow the law. And God's grace will cover you where you fail. That's the kind of concept that is taught in churches all over America. Y'all understand? That's how they teach it. And the law can't produce anything that can make you sealed or comforted in your thing. But look in Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. Well, what happens if you do walk after the flesh? You're going to feel condemnation and guilt. There's no other possibility. And so how many people here have been in churches and they got saved and they get confused because all of a sudden that guilt's fouled back up on them and they don't know what's actually putting that guilt on them? And churches, I believe, in a sense, put a guilt on you so they can control you. I mean, if you feel guilty, you're going to be much more of the Joe Christian. Think about it. If you think about controlling, the best thing to do is have insecure people. Because if they're insecure, they're going to say, hey, pastor, what can I do? I want to help the church. I want to be there. Because, you know, that makes him build up his security in his mind. Y'all with me? And that's the force in which most churches operate. They want you under the blanket of guilt. They don't want to teach you pure grace. This guy did 5 tapes, pure grace. And at the end, he started wanting to go back under the law. And it was fascinating to me because the pressure's on. What are you saying? You ought to live in sin? No, I've never told anybody to live in sin. But the idea is if you try to go out and work it out, look in 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. And look at how it describes the law. Verse 6. Who hath made us ministers of the New Testament, not of the what? Which is the what?
Law.
The law. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter does what?
Killeth.
That doesn't sound like a good thing. I mean, people think, well, we got to keep this moral law. That law kills. It doesn't make you more righteous. How can you be more righteous than the righteousness of God you're made in Christ? How can you be more righteous than God? God imputes His righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, to you. You've got the righteousness of God. And then churches turn around and tell you, you need to keep the law. You need to keep the commandments. You need to keep the ordinances. Well, what would that do for you? So I want to be moral. That's great. But what will that do for you? Morality can't save you. Keeping the law could never save you. Why? The letter killeth. Everybody. The letter killeth.
I think another thing, people want to look good in the eyes of man.
Well, they do, but they don't. I mean, the law today, when Wayne was, is it okay to use you as an example?
Be
he
fine.
Said, growing up, he said, going to the movie was a sin. Where is that in the Bible? They put, what they did is not only did they take the law, but they did exactly what the Pharisees did. Making up their own laws to make you feel guilty. Amen? How many here thought that dancing or going to a movie was sin at one time in the beginning of their life? Quite a few people here.
Hey, the only dancing that they told us that we could do is dancing in the Spirit in the church. If you were dancing in the Spirit in the church, that wasn't a sin. But if you even went bowling because they sold alcoholic beverages at a bowling alley, that was a sin. So we couldn't even go bowling.
You see, that wasn't in the Word of God, but they wanted to control people. So what did they do? They added more laws. It's kind of like the IRS. Have you ever noticed it? They could have a simple law, say 10% flat tax on everybody. Or they could do a 2-cent sales tax on everybody. So what do? Pages and pages and pages and books and shelf full of regulations. Why? They just keep adding to it. They wanted to, what did y'all think about the tax, that 90% tax on those few individuals? It's against our Constitution. They were trying to pass it so they could punish those old, beat them up. They weren't trying, I mean, it was about control. It is scary. And now the Geithner wants to be able to come into your business. Can you imagine them coming in and say, yellow book's not quite running right, we're going to run it for you? I mean, there's no constitutional bounds. Well, that's what religion has done in the churches. They just keep adding laws that they couldn't keep the first laws. But yet now they're adding because you know what? They may not have to go to a movie. So if they don't go to the movie and they tell you it's a sin to go to the movie and you go to the movie, guess what? They're righteous and you're
unrighteous.
You see how it works? But if you go to the commandments of God, it kind of levels out the thing. Thou shalt love God with all thy mind, heart, and soul and strength. Come on. Anybody here is taking the Lord's name in vain? All guilty. Anybody here stolen? You may not even know you've stolen. You've stolen, haven't you? You looked at me like you hadn't stolen.
I just borrowed it.
You mean that piece of paper I printed on the church computer is stealing?
Yeah, absolutely. Did you pay for it?
No, sir.
Then it's stealing.
Okay.
I expect full payment on that. So anyway, the letter killeth. The letter never made you righteous. The letter never made you a better Christian. The letter never made you more acceptable to God. The letter never did any of that. The letter
killeth.
And that's what it does. Come on down. But the Spirit giveth life. See, it's the Spirit that gives you life. Hey, he that hath the Spirit hath life. You see, it isn't he that keepeth the commandments, it's he that hath the Spirit. Now, come on down a little bit. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone, what was that?
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. The ministration of what?
Death.
That sounds like something we ought to be keeping. Amen? He said, but if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Then he says, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. There is nothing that the law could add to you as a believer to make you more than what you are in Christ. There isn't. And yet, how many people have been in churches where they teach you that you need to keep the law? Especially after you get saved.
Amen.
That's the object. Now, you get saved. Now you got the Spirit of God. Well, why? And he tells the Galatians right after this, go to Galatians. This thing is, you know, so powerful. You know, I'm just like, what are people thinking? You know, and as soon as you get back under that law, you feel the guilt and the condemnation and the guilt and all the things that the law offers. You're not walking in grace. You're not feeling abundant in joy. You're feeling guilt, condemnation, lack, insufficiency. You're feeling inadequacies. You're feeling bummed out. You're not walking in joy. You're not having joy of the Lord. The only way you can have joy of the Lord is to walk in grace. It's the Spirit that giveth life. I woke up this morning and you know, I'm having these weird health issues. I can't even tell you. It's just like the weirdest thing I've ever been through. And I'm fasting and I'm doing all these things and trying to get better and eating and doing all that. And you know, I thought to myself, you know, I am one of the most blessed people in all the universe. If I died today, I have not lived, I have lived a life that most people would only dream of. Brenda and I were talking about places we went to travel and witness to and people we talked to about the Lord. There are hundreds of people watching the broadcast this morning that I've had a part to be in. Just a little part, but a part. And the Simpsons and the Harrises and the West, Mary, my sister, calls it the PJ Bible study because she can do it in her PJs. I think that's cute. But, you know, you realize what a blessing it is. And I have great joy in my life. And it's not an artificial joy. I mean, I woke up. And with all my ailments, she says, well, how's your ailments? And I said, what would it matter? I am going to glory in the Lord with what I've got. I mean, who knows? You know what? I would rather walk in the joy of the Lord than try to prove to you how good I am. That's what the law is. You know? I love this. Look what he says in Galatians 3. He said, O foolish Galatian, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Which one?
Hearing of faith.
So why is it that we think somehow by keeping the commandments after the hearing of faith, and that's exactly what the Galatians did. They went back under the law. They went to where they were saved by faith, but they went back under the law. That was the Galatian book. And he doesn't say, oh, wonderful Galatians, you know, you're doing the right thing. He said, oh, foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians. Like somehow keeping the commandments is going to be easier after you're saved. And you know they promote that, don't you?
Well, very most of you know, what they taught us is once you got saved, and I don't remember exactly where the scripture said, but it says, come out among them and be ye
separate.
And that's why they put you back under the law, because they want you to be separate and stand out, be different from the sinners and all that. And that's where they use that scripture.
Yeah, but that's not even what it's talking about. Right. You know, I mean, that's the problem. And this guy that I was hearing was preaching the truth. It's quite evident that the man probably understands salvation. I really believe the man's saved. But he's so confused on the doctrine that the dispensation of grace runs through Romans, through Philemon. You get outside of that and you're back under the law and under prophecy. Now, you know what? The law never made any man righteous. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, there are no men in this room or back even in the Old Testament that was ever made righteous by the law. You got it? But Jesus did tell a man to keep the commandments if he was going to enter into life, didn't he? Now, they had a different situation. I'm going to try to show you that maybe in the next hour. But let me tell you, you don't get that here. Look at this, what he said. This only would I have learned of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That flesh is the same flesh of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You need to write that in your Bible. It is the same, that flesh, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The flesh is walking under the law. You're not walking under grace. The law isn't a moral guideline for you. You know what the guideline is for you? Does anybody know what the guideline is for you? For you, the believer, here. What's the guideline? Well, okay, that's a single statement. Let me give it. It's the doctrine of Romans through Philemon. What am I supposed to be doing after I get saved? The doctrine of Romans through Philemon. What am I supposed to be doing? Keeping the faith. Y'all with me? It isn't about keeping the law, it's about keeping the faith. After you're saved, it's the doctrine. People say, well, what are we supposed to do after we're Christian? How about trying the doctrine of Romans through Philemon on for a shoe size? Yeah, amen, that's true. You all understand? So when he says, are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That flesh is Romans chapter 8, where he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. What is the flesh walking after? The law. The works of the law. That's what it's... The flesh wants to do that. Man, the flesh just eats at that, wants to constantly do that. You know what you have to do? You have to bring every thought into subject. I can't do it. People ask me all the time, Pastor Barry, what exactly is probably the most spiritual thing in the entire Bible? And I believe there's an answer. You want to be spiritual? How many here want to be spiritual? This is what you ought to do. Go to Romans chapter 7 for a minute. Hold on to Galatians because we're coming right back. Go to Romans chapter 7. Now I'm going to show you what I believe is probably the truly the most spiritual thing a man could do on this life. It is in reflection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 17. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 18. For I know that in me. Everybody. For I know that in me. Did it say I'm wondering about it? I know. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, everybody, dwelleth no good thing. Do you really believe that? I mean, most people do not believe that. You want to know when you get spiritual is when you can go around and say, they say, Pastor, you're really something. And you go, you don't know me. You don't know me. And you know what? I thank God you don't know me, but better than that, I'm glad I don't know you either.
Amen.
Can you imagine knowing William's heart? This is what we did. William, stand up here for a minute. We'll just bring William up. Come on up here for a minute.
He's always a guinea pig.
Turn around and look at the camera. If we could whip William's heart out, you know what we would do?
Run.
Ah! Because in that heart is not anything good. Is that true? You have evil thoughts, don't you? Look in the camera and say that really solid.
I have evil thoughts. And I don't have the control over
them. Amen.
All right, that's good. Thank you. That's spirituality. When you can stand up and say, hey, I'm really this person. And you know what? If we really took all our thoughts, I mean all of them,
No.
And let them know, we would say, I can't believe Carlton would even think that. What did he say?
My own business.
I mean, and you know that it's not just true in this church. It's true on the internet, and it's true in every church that we know. Amen? But people won't admit it. They won't really confront what they are. I think Paul, outside of the Lord Jesus, what did Jesus Christ say? Birds have nests, foxes have holes. The Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. There is none good but one, that is God, but if thou wilt enter in... I mean, do you hear how he responds to everything? He didn't go around bragging on him. Paul doesn't say, man, I'm the man of God. He does right here in the passage. That's my point. I think that this statement in Romans chapter 7 is truly the spirituality. It is when a man comes to this part that you can walk through and say, you know, this. Look what he says. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. Do you think Paul wanted to do what was right?
Amen.
I do. Do you want to do what's right? But then he says, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You know what I'm amazed is when people act like they find the good to do. And I hear it all the time. I love my wife. I do love my wife. Given the wrong circumstance, I could find myself doing something wrong. Y'all understand? I love my wife, but I'm not above anything. You understand? Say, well, I want to be. I do. He says, but how to perform that which is good, I find. Why didn't he say, I find it occasionally? I mean, why didn't he say, Gene, why didn't he say, I find it occasionally? I mean, that's how Christians act. I may not be able to find it all the time, but occasionally I hit it right on the nail on the head.
Liar, liar.
I mean, that's how they act. You know why? They want to have some form. I think the biggest thing is vainglory that man wants. He wants to brag on himself. He wants to set himself, I'm the number one dude. You know what? There ain't nothing number one about me at all.
That's right.
When you get down to it, you're probably way down the list. There's a lot of people better than you. See, it's almost as if they want this law to perfect you. But really what the law does is just bring in your mind the consciousness of your evilness. And it condemns you. It's called the ministration of death, the ministration of condemnation. It isn't something that perfects you and makes you stronger. Man, walk in grace. That's hard. You ever tried to walk in grace? It's hard being you. You know what? We put a facade out.
That's right.
You only see what you want other people to see about you. There is a facade out there. And you paint it. I can prove it to you. Kids do this too. When you're on your first date with your wife, she's not your wife yet, you polish your shoes, you shine your teeth, you know. You pull the hair out of your nose. You get out there and you open the car door. You let her in. You look at her with those dreamy eyes. After 20 years of marriage, say, come on, get in. Grab the grandkids. Let's go. What happened with opening the door? How many years opened the door for their wife when at the beginning of their marriage? And how about toward the end of your marriage? Like, hey, drive yourself. Meet you at the ball field. We do it all the time. We always put our best foot forward. When we come to church, we want people to like us. Can you imagine if we talk like we do at home? At church. If those conversations were allowed in this building, what do you think we would hear?
We'd all run out.
See, the problem is we're able to put our... And you know, that's why we praise God that church is only a couple hours long, because we can fake it for 2 hours. Amen? We can actually act like we get along. Occasionally we'll get it flared up. You ought to get here for band practice. It gets flared up pretty easy there. We're all screaming at each other. You need to do this, that, you know. I mean, that's because we're all comfortable with each other. People come in and go, what is wrong with that band? Well, the Redneck Riviera Grace Band, the name tells it all. Huh?
Sounds tinny.
Yeah, exactly. Tinny. Yeah, that's it. He says in verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. You see, that's how we really are. The problem is we're not spiritual enough to admit that. I think God put this chapter 7 in the context so that you would know what is truly spiritual. You could get it in your head. Go back to Galatians. The Galatians were those people that got saved and they went back under the law. And they thought they were going to become more spiritual. Galatians chapter 3 again. Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Boy, isn't that a great statement? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit worketh miracles among you. Doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How about the miracles? Were they by... Hey, how many times have you heard that person isn't living a right life is why he's never healed?
Right.
Yeah. That's not how it works.
Right.
They didn't get healed back in the Old Testament based upon the law and about how good they were. They got healed by what they believed.
Right.
Folks, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's a belief system. It's a belief system. It's not a doing system. It's a belief system. And the law is a doing system. You can't do and believe at the same time. You either believe it's completely paid for, or you think you got something involved in doing it. It and in between. In fact, these Galatians, he kind of hammered them a little bit. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Look at his attitude toward these people. I desire, verse 20, to be present with you now and to change my voice for what? For I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? You that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? What are you not hearing? You see, the problem is that the law concluded something. Go to Galatians chapter 3 again. Come on down to verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under... How did the Scriptures conclude that? By the law. How many were under sin? That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that what? Believe. But before faith came, we were kept up under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our what? Schoolmaster to bring us on to Christ. That we might be justified by faith. You got that? By faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a what? Well, the law wasn't intended for man to gain favor with God. But that's how they did it. How many times have you been told that you need to have, you've got some unconfessed sins in your life for God to hear you in prayer? How many's heard that?
Amen.
You know why they want you to do that? They want to control you with guilt. And so what they say is the reason God's not answering, and you know why God hadn't answered? God hadn't answered anything in the sense that we really know in 2,000 years. You know why? We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Prayed for a lady the other day, guess what happened? Died. William said, don't pray for him. Please quit praying for me, Pastor. That's right. Hey, look, I don't know what to pray for as I ought. You know, so I'm out there praying it up like I'm Mr. Spiritual Man, and boom, dead. So would you say a blessing for the table? I'm afraid to. Someone might die around the table. Oh, preacher, I would just be honored if you say the Thanksgiving prayer. You know, I mean...
Hey, you're saying that it may end up putting more weight on us instead of less.
Something's going to go wrong. But, you know, I mean, if the Lord was going to answer anybody, don't you think he would have answered the Apostle Paul?
Right.
Send him through all that, and there's a messenger of Satan around poking the Paul in the side. Poke, poke, poke. Kids can get that. Come here, Hannah. Come here. Hurry, you're slow as molasses. We're going to end up being Christmas before you get here. Can you imagine someone going by?
Ow. Stop that.
Uh-huh. You want to stop? Ask the Lord. Huh? Poke, poke, poke. The messenger of Satan to poke me. Go ahead, ask the Lord.
Stop.
Uh-huh. And you know what the Lord did?
No.
No. He just let him poke. Poke. Just kept poking. You know? That's getting sore, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, come on. He didn't answer he didn't answer Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, how come you just let that messenger of Satan just attack Paul all the time, Lord? Paul wasn't relying on the things in this life. He was relying on the finished work of Calvary's cross. He was, hey, whatever came his way, what does it matter to you? Say, all hell's breaking loose in my life. You know what I would do? Praise the Lord. That's hard to do, isn't it? Car is broken. The fuel. Praise the Lord. We appreciate you watching. Come on.
Paul called it a light affliction.
It was called the light affliction. The whole point that I'm trying to make is, what does it matter in this world? You've got eternal life. You possess the righteousness of Almighty God. What is it that you need more than that to walk in? And if you walk in that, if you could really grasp it and really gather your what it is that God's done for you, I doubt you would do anything but smile.
Amen.
All day long. Look back in Galatians. Look back in Galatians. Chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're not under the bondage of law. You know what? You don't have to come to church here. God isn't going to set you on fire. If you don't watch, God isn't going to come to your house and blow it up. God isn't judging you. God loves you and gave His Son for you. He that also gave you all, crucified His Son, will He not also with Him freely give you all things?
Amen.
You ought to walk in. I mean, grace believers ought to be the most excited believers on planet Earth. They ought to be thrilled. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They're afraid to say it. You know why? We have a message of hope. Where Christ has made us free. And you know what He warns? He warns not to be entangled again. He said, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is a yoke for?
Control.
Control. Guess what churches use the law as?
Control.
Control. Hey, I want the oxen to go this way. Pull on this. I want them to go this way. Control. But you're not, hey, you're not of the slave woman. You're of the free woman. Bless God, you're free. Free indeed. You're, come on guys, you're free. Amen. You're not in bondage. You're one with Christ. You're the righteousness of God. You're a complete, holy, righteous being before the Lord.
Praise God.
Why isn't this room full? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, help me out. Christ shall profit you nothing. If you count on one little aspect of your life as being something, Christ shall profit you nothing.
Nothing.
It isn't going to be like he's going to profit you anything. You know why? You're going to think it's me. Look how great I am. Look how wonderful I am. You know what? Ain't nothing wonderful about Pastor Hampton. And even less about Mrs. Hampton. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, you guys are just doing that because I told you. You don't really believe that. He says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Now here it is, verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. What? You have fallen from grace. Yeah, you're not even on the plateau of grace. You're not even enjoying the realness of grace. You're walking around like a Southern Baptist in bondage, in religious system about sin and law and condemnation and guilt. You know, that's what most of the churches preach. Amen? Walk in the grace. Had a preacher down in Mobile. He used to sing for Billy Graham, and he says, you know what? Some grace preachers don't have any grace. That's true. Have a little grace. Do you realize that most of us are struggling for our day-to-day existence?
Mm-hmm.
Wondering if we're going to make it to work on time. Whether the boss is going to like our work that day. Whether the tree was going to fall in our backyard or not. Our lives are filled with little worries all day long. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what the Bible says? We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hello? We're more than conquerors to Him that loves. Hey, this old world ain't got me down. Say, throw me in jail. Throw them in jail. You know what? You ought to praise God for that. And said, you know what we want? We want out. You know why? Hey, maybe somebody there might have gotten saved. Paul got thrown in jail. How about that Philippian jailer? Don't you know that Philippian jailer praised God that Paul was in jail? What do you think of that Philippian jailer? Going to land on a sword, pull out a sword and land on it. And Paul said, no, no, don't do that. See, when you fall, you don't fall by sin. You fall by thinking you're something better than you are. You know, the Bible says you ought not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Amen. We ought to be humble in our... You know what? Listen. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Well, we haven't been there, so you can't go back. Go to Romans chapter 8. Oh, yeah, we did. We started out there. Praise the Lord. Well, then you can go back to Romans 8. We're going to wrap up here pretty quickly. I want you to listen to this. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. These are, you want to talk about powerful verses? These are, Romans 8 is a powerful little chapter. What shall we then say to these things? All right, let me ask you what you're going to say to this. If God be for us, who can be against us? That messenger of Satan that was poking Hannah? Poke Paul. You understand? In the illustration. The Lord wanted that messenger there. Why? To keep him humble, the Bible said. It was necessary for that to happen in life. Say, well, that was bad. Yeah, but it worked out good for God.
That's right.
And it'll work out good for them that love God, according to Romans 8:28. He says, he that spared not his own son, you realize that Jesus, that God took the only thing that he cared about on this world, on this planet, in this universe, the only thing, and delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that dieth, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession. For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Verse 37, in all these things we are more than what?
Conquerors.
Hey, we're conquerors. You don't have to walk under the law to perfect you. The reason that you're perfected is the gift of God. The Spirit seizes you in there, and if you'll be honest with the Spirit, you won't need some law to tell you how to walk. You won't need that. You know what you'll need? Is people to explode on. You want to get people fired up? Tell them about grace. Hallelujah. Tell them about the greatness of God. Tell them about the things that God did for you in Jesus Christ and when he offered them up on Calvary's cross for you. You mean you don't believe you got to keep the commandments to be saved? You don't know how many times I hear that. What do you mean? He took all your sins. And last part, he took the law out of the way. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, and nailed his cross. Say, I'm a conqueror.
I'm a conqueror.
Oh, like you mean it.
I'm a conqueror.
Come on, like you mean it. I'm a conqueror. Where? In him. More than a conqueror. You know what? Listen, let me tell you what. There's no battles that are too big. There's no foes that are too huge. Hey, it's God that, spared not his own son, with him not also freely give us all things. What are you chilled out about? What's all up in your goat? Relax. Everybody take a deep breath. Whatever your situation is. You know what? It isn't going to change the grace of God.
That's right.
Not going to get different tomorrow. It's not going to be any different the next day.
Right.
And one day there will be a shout with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet the Lord of the air. And you know what? We're going to talk about why you must rightly divide this book, because, listen, grace isn't everywhere. I'll take a break.